Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Well, welcome to another edition of Cover Your Assets KC, the podcast that's going to try to teach you a little bit more about the financial world and the retirement planning landscape and have some fun along the way. I'm Walter Storholt alongside David Dickens, President and Wealth Advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you in Kansas City with an office in Overland Park and all the surrounding communities. Glad you're with us listening to today's show. David, looking forward to chatting with you, and you got back from your golf trip, and I hear you shot very well on your trip.
Well, on any given day, you know, you kind of, sometimes you get it and sometimes you don't. I know we have some golfers who listen to our
And you had that experience on the trip, right?
I had that exact experience, so... But it was fun, you know. It's hard to have a bad time when you're out playing golf, so it was really fun. And now we got college football and pro football, and this is a good time of year. A
little bit of normalcy in life feels good after all the craziness we've had this year.
Sure does. Let's just hope it keeps on getting more normal.
Yeah, that's right. Did you ever think we'd beg for normal as much as we do right now? That's
no.
Pretty wild. I have a feeling, however, David, we may have to wait a little longer for a return to normal. We've got an election year still to get through. So.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
There's that. But it does feel good, at least for now, to have a little bit of tastes of normal here and there on Saturdays and Sundays, however still odd it might be. We've got a great show on the way today. You know, there's this popular podcast out there, since we're doing a podcast. I don't know how many people have heard of this one before, David, but it's called Stuff You Should Know. It's actually pretty funny. They break down things, like the most random things you can think of, like how sneezing works is one particular episode. So they just, and then they go all in depth on like how sneezing works, everything about sneezing, the history of sneezing, what we've learned about it, the science behind it. And they just do that for a variety of topics. You kind of never know what you're going to get on the show. So it's pretty interesting. If we're giving any podcast recommendations, if you haven't checked out Stuff You Should Know, it's been around for a long time. It's a good show to check out. It typically doesn't have anything to do with the financial world, however. So on today's show, we're going to embrace the concept of Stuff You Should Know, but we're going to base it all in the financial realm. Sound good to you?
I think that sounds great to me.
All right, let's do it. Stuff You Should Know, number one, the global bond market. Okay, the global bond market is about twice the size of the global stock market. Huh. I would not have guessed that to be a true statement, David. What does that tell us if that's stuff we should know in the financial world?
Well, you are really normal because most people wouldn't have any idea. I mean, most people, frankly, can't explain what a bond is. I happened to spend the first 30 years of my career on the bond side of the investment business. So working with government bonds and corporate bonds and asset-backed securities and municipal bonds. So this is really no surprise to me, but frankly, most regular people wouldn't have a reason to ever think about it, let alone know about it. So your question is, why is that important? Well, so I can think of two reasons why it's important. One is it's not a mystery to anybody that we have historically low yields right now. And so governments, U.S. government, you know, being the poster child, we are issuing lots and lots of new bonds at super low rates. Corporations are issuing bonds at super low rates because it's really, really cheap to do so. And so since they're issuing so much, there's lots and lots of supply. So go back to economics 101, supply versus demand. So we've got a ton of supply in the market right now of bonds. And since these yields are so low, traditional bond investors are frankly looking around for alternatives because they're used to earning interest rates that are 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8%, and now they're getting 1 and 2, and sometimes with government bonds, negative interest rates. So you've got an increase in supply, and you have a steady or a decrease in demand. And so I think that's the takeaway. We look at, why is the stock market so high right now? Why is it so expensive? Well, because there are a lot of bond investors that can't afford to invest in bonds anymore. So they're putting their money into, let's just say, dividend-paying stocks. And maybe those stocks are paying a dividend of 3 or 4%. And those money managers are willing to take a risk that the stock market won't fall apart, and they'll be able to put money into what they believe to be conservative stocks as an alternative to super low-yielding bonds.
it's interesting to hear the fact that not only did people not realize what the global markets look like, but yeah, let's just take it back to basics. A lot of people don't even know what a bond technically is, the definition there. So good to give that background a little bit too. Stuff you should know, financial stuff you should know. Another good one, David. Income tax rates. Boy, it sure doesn't feel like it when I look at the paycheck, David, but income tax rates are currently close to historical lows.
Yeah, so maybe everybody kind of has an intuitive feel for that. And Walter, not to put you on the spot, but do you have any guess as to what the highest marginal income tax rate was in the United States ever?
I think there was a short period of time where we were in the 90s, right? There was a 90% or plus tax bracket, something like that?
That's exactly right. In the early 40s, mid-40s, we had like 92%. It's a funny story I heard. I'm not going to belabor it, but a funny story about Ronald Reagan. Before he was president, he was an actor. And in his autobiography, he said that he could only afford to make two movies a year back then, because he made $100,000 a movie and over $200,000 of income, they taxed you at 92%. And he's like, well, that leaves 8 cents for me. And the state of California wants a bunch. So it literally didn't pay him to make more than two movies a year. So tax rates have been going down ever since then. But you probably know, our national debt, especially in the last 2 years, has been going through the roof. We now have over almost $27 trillion of government debt. It's going to go up by $3.5 trillion this year over what it was last year. So we have a mounting debt problem. And eventually, and from my standpoint, regardless of who gets into the White House, I mean, Biden's already said he's going to raise taxes. Taxes have to go up in the future because we are adding so much debt. We're spending way, way, way more money than we take in taxes. So sooner probably than later, all of our tax rates are going up. If you look back to the early to mid-1960s, our tax rates in the United States were double what they are today. So the question is, if you're paying in the 22% bracket and you're thinking, well, there's no way that they could take my bracket up to 25 or 26 or 28. Well, in the mid-60s, that 22% bracket was 44%. I'm convinced that as you're planning for your future, you need to make sure that you know that your tax rates are going up in the future.
I think it seems to be a pretty safe bet if you were going to try and put some money down on whether tax rates are going up or not, to put it on the upside. Just certainly seems like the evidence points that direction, no doubt about it. Another thing you should know, stuff you should know in the financial world, if I'm sticking with the theme properly here, living benefits, or you might also hear them termed accelerated death benefits. Living benefits definitely sounds a little bit better than accelerated death benefit. On life insurance are a long-term care solution that not many people know about.
Yeah, that's super true. I have more than a handful of clients that we have set that up for. But here's the way that works. In fact, we've done a couple of podcasts over the last 2 or 3 years that say the titles might have been, you know, why do I need life insurance after I'm retired? Well, you may not, but here's one reason why you might. What a life insurance company will do on a permanent life insurance policy, not a term policy, but a permanent life insurance policy, most of them have this clause where they'll advance, say, 80% of the death benefit to you and your spouse over 5 years. And that can be used to pay for long-term care. You've got to qualify for long-term care, and that means not being able to do at least two of the six activities of daily living. A prior podcast, probably April of this year, would tell you what those are, and I'm not going to go into them here. But let's say that you had a permanent life insurance policy of $125,000 death benefit, and they're going to accelerate up to 80% of that to you to pay for long-term care. So 80% of $125,000 happens to be $100,000. And if they're going to give you 20% of that over 5 years, well, that's $20,000 a year that they're going to send to you to help pay for your long-term care. Now, each time they send you $20,000, that reduces the amount of death benefit that the beneficiary will eventually receive once you die. So it's not like it's free money, but it's an advance on money that your heirs were going to otherwise get when you die. But it helps you pay for long-term care, in most cases on a tax-free basis, because the death benefit would come tax-free. So in a lot of cases, you may not want to afford a long-term care policy, but this little benefit on a permanent life insurance policy can go a long way to helping you and your spouse or your family pay for some long-term care benefits. So in a lot of times, it can be a terrific benefit.
It's very important to, I think, you know, really try to understand. You don't have to be an expert when it comes to finances, but it's good to just know some of this stuff, know the possibilities, know some of the background on these things so that when you talk about them with a planner like David Dickens, you just have that familiarity with the process. It's kind of like, David, we're thinking about doing a kitchen redesign at some point. And I'm no expert when it comes to redesigning kitchen, but I'm trying to educate myself before we go and talk to a bunch of people on like, okay, what's the landscape when it comes to cabinets? What's the landscape when it comes to granite? So when they start talking to me about a level one or two or three granite or quartz versus granite versus stock cabinets and those kinds of things, I at least kind of, you know, at least understand as I start to get the more an additional education from them on the different topics. And I feel like it's the same thing here in the financial world too. We just want people to be familiar with some of these things so that you don't feel overwhelmed when you really start diving into the details.
It is. When you may not know the answers, but when you know some of the questions, that can be very empowering. So I get exactly what you mean.
I like that. We may not know some of the questions, but when we can know some of the answers, it's very empowering, or something like that. That was good. I like that sentence. Yeah. I don't know if I reset it the proper way.
It's not important that you know all the answers, but if you know some of the
questions.
Oh,
there we go. Okay, that makes more sense. We were close. As the old airplane movie said, strike that, reverse it. And there we go.
And don't call me Shirley.
That's right. That's right. Speaking of things we may not know or realize, you probably should know that you probably have more risk in your portfolio than you realize.
Boy, Walter, if there's one thing that is a constant in my business, in my experience over the years, it's that people come in for a review and want to know, how they're doing, are they going to make it? And almost to a person, they underestimate how much risk they're taking in their portfolio, usually in their 401k, which tends to be their biggest financial asset. So I regularly see 401ks that have between 80 and 100% of the allocation in the stock market. So let me say right now, if you're in your 30s or 40s, that's probably okay. If you're 55 or 60, it's probably not okay. So quick example, February, March of this last year, 2020, everybody probably still remembers that the market went down about 34% in 4 weeks. Well, let's just say you're 60 and you have $1 million 401k, which would be pretty common, and it's 80% in stock. And you get your March 31st statement, and your $1 million is now down to $750,000. The question is, are you okay with that? And that kind of leads to our fifth financial thing you should know.
And that is the biggest impediment to making good financial decisions is your own emotions. And when you realize that, it can be very empowering.
It can be. And the important thing to get here is to understand that before the stuff hits the fan. So in the prior example I gave on March 31st, you get your statement and you thought you had $1 million with a couple years left to retirement. And all of a sudden, you see that you have $750,000. And the question I left the last... just a couple of minutes ago, I left you with was, were you okay with that? Well, if you're okay with that because maybe you've got a pension that's going to be coming your way, or you have a lifestyle that doesn't cost you much, and Social Security is going to cover most of it, and you didn't react emotionally badly to that drop in market value, then you probably don't have too much of exposure. And you are able to make good financial decisions based on your emotions. But if you got that statement and you said, oh my gosh, I need that money. Well, first of all, you have way more risk in your portfolio than you realize. And you're on the verge of making a really bad mistake based on your own emotions. So how do you fix that? I think the answer is this. You want to make sure that with your, again, your 401k, which is probably your largest financial asset, you want to make sure that it is appropriately allocated, stocks versus bonds, based on a couple things: your age, your risk tolerance, and your future need for that money. So let's say you're 60 and you have a moderate risk tolerance, but you do have a big pension coming your way and you're not really planning on using that 401k money for the next decade. Well, then you're probably going to act a lot less emotionally when you have a drop in market value. You're going to go, you know what? That's going to come back and I don't need the money for a decade. But if you're 63 and you're going to retire at 65 and you have a moderate risk tolerance, but almost everything you've saved is in that 401k, and you know that Social Security is only going to replace about a third of what you're going to need to live on, well, then all of a sudden you are very likely to react very emotionally badly to the fact that your 401k used to be $1 million and 2 months later, it was $750,000. The bad reaction you're liable to make is that you say, well, I can't afford to have it go down to $650,000, so I better sell some stock right now. Well, we all know, because now it's September, and we know that from March to September, the market went almost straight up back to where it was in January. So when you know the end of the story, it's a lot easier to not be emotional. But on March 31st, with COVID being a totally unknown thing and businesses being shut down left and right, you had no idea what March and April and May and June and July were going to bring. So it's super, super important to have a plan and to know how much is that money that I'm going to maybe be worried about. How much does that play into my need for retirement income? And if it's not a big thing, you're liable to handle market volatility a lot better. But if you're really relying on those assets to provide an income for you, you're much more prone to make super bad decisions based on your own emotions.
Get those under control. At least know your emotions. Know how they might bias you or influence you. We could do tons of shows about that. There's been lots of studies about how our emotions and biases play into our decision-making when it comes to finances and investing and all those kinds of things. Without getting into all of the nitty and gritty on that, just know that if you can understand your emotions, doesn't mean that you have to necessarily change how you think about things, David, but just know how your biases impact how you then approach retirement and planning and those kinds of things. And we can plan around emotions because, hey, we're all different. We're all unique. We all have different levels of tolerance for risk and what we want to do with our money and different income levels and spending levels. And that's why it's so important to get customized plans put together for retirement. There's no such thing as a good cookie cutter plan, right?
Agreed, because we're not cookies.
And so that's one reason. Yeah. That was pretty lame, David. That deserves a badoonch.
Well, thank you, Walter. I appreciate it.
Either that or the sad trombone. I don't know. But no, that's good stuff. If you would like to get a complimentary and complete planning review, the CPR process, as we like to call it, with David Dickens and the team at KC Financial Advisors, address some of the things that we talked about on today's show, plus much more, of course. We just scratched the surface on some of these details. You can get in touch easily by calling 913-317-1414. That's 913-317-1414. Or go online to coveryourassetskc.com. That's coveryourassetskc.com. And check the show notes of today's show for links and contact information to make it easy on you. David, that's it for today's show. Appreciate the help and the guidance, and look forward to talking to you again next week.
Yeah, just to kind of seed the water here, I'm working on a topic that I think I'm going to call Millennials in Retirement. And I know we have a number of millennials that listen to the show, so hopefully next week you'll find it super interesting and super helpful for you.
That's going to be great. One co-hosting the show, too. I should be an expert on this topic. I can't wait. This will be a lot of fun. Yes, that'll be coming up next week. David's working on it. The topic will be Millennials in Retirement. Looking forward to that. In the meantime, hope everybody has a great week, and we'll talk to you next time right back here on the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.